This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show from Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist. Here's the Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters, and the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Yes, indeed. How are you doing, Mike, my friend?
Well, I think I'm okay because the sun is actually shining and there's not any fog out there right now.
Yay!
Yeah, I could see to get here. It was good. In the morning.
At our age, we need all the help we can
get. All the help we can get and all the sunlight we can get.
That's right. Absolutely.
Oh, golly. Hey, well, thanks for listening if you are, and if you're not, you should. And if you, this is a show about ideas about your garden, your landscaping, your trees, things like that. And if you have a question, you can call this radio station at 673-4464. Ask your question, and I will give you an answer. And 99 times out of 100 is correct.
That's pretty good odds.
I know. So don't ask any hard ones.
Yeah. Speaking of that, are you going to bet on the Super Bowl?
No, I don't. I'll watch it. I'll watch it and eat some tuna fish sandwiches or something, you know?
There you go.
Nah, that's not my bag. I watch the game. It's good. It's the best of the best. I like to watch that.
Mm-hmm. Dare I ask you which team you're?
I have no preference.
Okay.
None. But whatever team my brother wants, I'll take the opposite. Yeah.
So that's always fun.
That's how that works. And then I can harass him the whole game.
Yeah.
I can say, well, that guy dropped the ball really fast, didn't he? Yeah.
Boy, he's a good one.
Yeah, let's sign him up.
Yeah, the Seahawks might want him.
Yeah, right. But, and if you missed the show, you can get this on 541radio.com and see and hear the whole thing. I don't know if you can see it, but you can hear it. But at any rate, I'm going to, you know, it's almost like spring out there. It's driving me up the wall. But so I thought I'd talk about plant materials and gardening things and building planter boxes and, you know, that sort of thing to kind of get you interested in the direction that you should be going here in the next month or two. But like I say, if you have any other calls on any other landscape or gardening or plant question, please call 673-4464 and I will answer your question. All right.
There you go.
So, as usual, the plant magazines that I get all the time are coming out with 2022's best new plants.
Already?
Oh, yeah. They never stop. And and they're beautiful. You know, the photos are just, you know, beautiful with their bright, hot colors. But trying to get them so we can sell them to our clients is difficult. In other words, where can I find them to bring them to my nursery so we can sell them, huh? Hello? Yeah. They never tell me.
No.
you go to plant.com 4206 or something.
Just Google it.
Yeah, just Google it. Right, I'm going to Google it. I'm going to ask, what's her name, Siri?
Yeah.
Or Sirius or whatever
Siri.
Her name is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, Siri, where do I get these plants, man?
I cannot know.
I don't know. I don't do plants.
Yeah.
Oh, but anyway, you know, they're beautiful. And they've got the, you know, the descriptions and what they do and where you plant them in the zones and all that. And all these are hardy, pretty much hardy for the Pacific Northwest, you know, here, Oregon, Washington, you know, of course, California. But probably not in the snow zones at 5,000 feet. But, you know, what? What
we have a phone call.
I haven't said anything.
Good afternoon. You're on with Mike Winters.
Hi. My name's Phil Aguilar, and I live in Myrtle Creek.
Yes.
I have a problem with Asian fruit flies. I've tried everything that local people have told me to do. I've gone to the some of the stores.
Uh-huh.
But what I've found on the Internet that there is that they live in the ground whenever the cherry season is over.
Uh-huh.
Is there something, pesticide or something that I can get local there that I can saturate the ground with and kill them?
Yes, there is. And right off the bat, I can't tell you which one it is, but if you go to the co-op, they'll have that in stock. I'm sure it's a pre-emergent, and if you just you know, whatever the directions say, half a cup full or a tablespoon full, and spread it all the way around the base of the tree, and take it out to the drip system. How big are the trees? How old?
They're They're about 25 feet high.
Oh, yeah. Wow, they're pretty good. So you're going to have a lot of this material. And it'll probably be a granular material and like a fertilizer, that way. But just spread it around the base of the tree, and it's a pre-emergent, and it should kill the adults and the larvae and the eggs and everything else. And you may have to do it on a regular basis until you totally eliminate the problem.
Okay, though. If it'll work, that'll be great.
Yeah, it does work, but like I said, right off the top of my head, I can't remember any of the names that you'd look for. I don't know the brand name. So, but go to the co-op and talk to one of the folks in there. There's a guy by the name of Mark who is the plant specialist in there. He's a pretty smart fellow. Hangs out in the back office. Ask for Mark, and he can lead you in the right direction.
Okay, I'll do it.
Okay.
Thanks so much.
You're welcome. Thanks for the call.
Asian, what were they?
I'm not sure. Asian fruit flies.
Yeah.
And they're a real pain. Yeah. And they lay their eggs in the soil, and then they hatch and come up and attack the tree.
Oh, gross.
Yeah.
Can we blame that on China?
I don't know. They're Asian, so who knows? I don't know if they invented them or who did. But as I was talking about the new plants that are slammed over the nursery world and say, oh, gee whiz, this is great. I mean, but I can't find them. They don't say, well, you can go to ABC Nursery in Salem or EGF Nursery in Medford, and they have a good supply of everything that we've shown you here in the last 14 pages, and they can fix you right up. I'd love to find them. I mean, there must be a way. There's got to be a way. I don't know why they, like I say, the photos are beautiful. They're very colorful, very nice, very hardy, all of them for our zone here. Our
nice.
Zone is 7, and
yeah.
five to seven or 5 to 8, depending on where you're at in the state. Mm-hmm. And, and some of them are annuals, and a lot of them are perennials, so they're just really a nice addition to any landscape. So,
cool.
Yeah, but read about them, so I made a short list for your info, just so that you might run across something like this. And remember, most of these may turn into annuals in our climate every winter. It depends on the temp. If it drops down to 20 or 19 or something like that, they may down to the ground, but they may come back up too as soon as it warms up.
Boy, they're survivors.
Yeah, they could be. But these are brand new items, and so they're not. They're kind of tested where they're grown, but who knows what they're going to do in Douglas County or in Baker County or something
right,
like that.
Right.
That's the thing. You got to try them to see if they actually work. they may, like I say, they may turn into annuals and in our climate every winter, but they may come back. I've had geraniums, which are annuals. I've planted them in several locations, and they died down as soon as it really got cold and, December, January.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, I tried it, I saw. And then the following spring, this is one of the banks we take care of, the following spring about, March, I was there inspecting plants, and I see new little buds coming up from where that plant was, and I thought, that's interesting.
Yeah.
And within a month, it was totally leafed out. It had come back, and it grew during the course of that year. It grew almost twice the size that it was originally.
Wow.
And bloomed beautifully. And it was a geranium with variegated colored leaves. It had dark green and light green and streaks through it. Really a pretty geranium.
Yeah.
And I was amazed that it had died down. And I thought, well, that's it. But it was just a summer thing. I wanted to have some color at the entrance to the bank, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And bingo, there it was again. So I haven't checked on it in this last winter, so I'll check on it here in another week or two just to see if anything's happening and see if it's actually coming back. So,
yeah, tell us next week.
Yeah, well, if there's anything there to report on. Yeah, yeah, I know. But some of the new things here, there's the first one I put down was, it's called a sunbeam mandevilla.
Mandevilla.
Huh. And it has like nonstop yellow blooms from late spring to first frost. Whenever first frost, you know, could be December, could be November, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
And it's a very bushy plant, a very lot of leaves, a lot of really, and the photo was really pretty. And the yellow blooms, I mean, they just come on and they're fairly large, and they just come on. And when some blooms have their time out, new blooms appear. And so mm-hmm. it's in constant bloom. There's always some dying, but there's always some, you know, brand new ones coming yeah. back to replace. Nice. And, it's very bushy, like I say. And it'll grow in full sun to about light shade. It doesn't like heavy shade, but if it got morning sun, afternoon shade, or vice versa, it would do fine. But it likes the sun, and it does like a kind of a moist, well-drained soil, and like all of these do, just damp. When they say moist, I say damp, you know. But we're in zone 7, so these Mandevilla, they say they do best in zones 10 to 11, but they will be an annual at least in our area. So that's a good deal.
That's hopeful.
Yeah. Number 2 is the South African phlox. Now, phlox is a ground cover. It's a small ground cover. It usually has a little small blue kind of a pale blue flower, and it's good, and it usually survives the winter. Doesn't look real spry in the middle of December and January, but
who does?
Yeah, but as soon as it begins to warm up and we get some sunny days like we've been having, you begin to see that new growth from the roots will come up. Well, this one, it's called South African phlox, and it's a very long blooming and heat tolerant plant, and it loves full sun. I mean, that's a lot of times a lot of the plants we have and ground covers we have, not all of them like full sun. So I pick out these really tough ones, and yeah, let's see if this let's put it to the test, and let's put it out there in that full sun from, you know, 5 in the morning till 10 at night.
And see
how full you want to get. But it's kind of a trailing plant. It doesn't get very tall. It kind of just really hugs the ground. It's more of a ground cover type. It might get 4 or 5 inches tall, but it spreads fairly rapidly. So it makes a great ground cover in that respect. And it also can be used in a hanging basket. You know, it would be a good thing to for springtime color, put it in a hanging basket, mix it up with some ivy geraniums or even some fuchsias, and you'd have a real hot shot basket there. Or put it on the deck in a container, you know, put it on your patio or at your front door, something like that, for some really, really good color. Again, this one is in zones 10 to 11, and we are zone 7. Now, I don't know what the temperature difference is between the two, but I don't think it's radical, but you never know. This phlox, I think I said it was yellow. It's not yellow. The flowers are pink with a white center, and it blooms all summer.
Oh, really?
Yeah, all summer. So you just... And the photos were, you know, they have the best photos they can possibly have. And you go, wow, I'd love to have that plant. That's really cool. But it's kind of a light pink with a white center. So it is very colorful in that respect.
Yeah.
The next one is a Mayan, M-A-Y-A-N, sunset petunia.
Can we get to that right after the break?
If you insist.
Give you a cliffhanger.
Oh, yeah, cliffhanger. Mayan petunia.
More on that following, I was going to say news, but that's not right.
No, this is not news. Well, it might be news to somebody.
News Radio, 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
All righty. We are back. And the, what'd you call it, Mayan?
Mayan.
Mayan.
Mayan sunset petunia. I'm talking about new plants coming out that I can't find anywhere except in a colorful magazine. And so I'm hoping that somebody will have some somewhere close to Douglas County so that I can purchase some.
You think they're really real, or they're just...
Well, they got to be real. They're in a picture, aren't they?
Well, it could be. Well, okay.
Oh. Yeah, never mind. No comment, sir. But like any petunia in our area, this one is definitely an annual, but you never know. It might come back if it's protected, you know, and some, you know, close to a building with overhang, who knows. But the flowers have a light orange-yellow center.
Oh.
I mean, a different kind of orange than you'd ever seen, actually.
Like Mars orange?
Not Mars orange. It's a little lighter than Mars orange. And it's surrounded with a light rose-red color. So it's orange in the center and light rose red all the way around it. Yeah, it very,
nice.
Very pretty. It's not your usual petunia at all.
No.
I mean, yeah. So I'm looking forward to finding some of those so I can stick them in some of my landscape maintenance projects that we do, and different businesses. We add color to them throughout the springtime.
Right.
And, you know, make them a little pizzazzy and
and
all that. And then number four was the hot lobelia, and I don't know why.
I won't. But,
okay. Well, this lobelia is a very heat tolerant. I mean, it will take extreme heat, and it's going to do well in full hot sun. And that's what most people have.
The Mojave Desert?
Yeah, they would probably do it in the Mojave Desert. But there are six colors to choose from.
Oh,
but
geez.
But all of these six colors are a shade of blue.
Oh.
You know, there's deep blue and very light blue and kind of a diffused blue.
Blue.
Oh, yeah, ocean blue, sky blue. Who knew? And they're very cold hardy, according to the article. Zones 9 to 11, and it loves, of course, a well-drained soil. All of these love a well-drained soil. So if you're going to put them in the ground, you use potting mix, and you know you got a well-drained soil. Of course, in a pot, they're going to have potting mix, so that's how that works.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next one is Flamenco Vinca. Vinca is also a ground cover type, and it's a very tough ground cover. But this is a great ground cover that is very hardy and heat tolerant. So all of these, what I liked about them, all of them were very heat tolerant. They can take dry, hot conditions, and last summer would have been perfect for them. Hopefully we won't have another summer like that for another 100 years. But instead of a blue flower, which most vincas have a blue flower, this one comes in shades of pink. And there are like four pink colors that they call, I don't, you know, and this one, and I'm not making this up either. One is called Cheeky Pink.
Cheeky.
Cheeky Pink.
Uh-huh.
Another one is called Pink Twist.
Oh.
Another one is called Salmon Glow. And the fourth one is Senorita Pink. So give me a break. I didn't make this up. This is what I'm
trying to make sense of that last one.
I know. Maybe. But anyway, it's a tough plant, and, you know, you water deeply during the driest summer heat is all. And this one seems to be tough enough for our winter temperatures as well. So vinca, a normal vinca plant will survive our winters. Even like we have snow and things like that will survive. But this one seems to be just as tough. So that's
cool.
Good.
Nice.
Number six is the Orange Glow Ice Plant. I love ice plant. Ice plant's got to be one of the toughest things in the world. It looks like it should be growing in Africa because of the heat and the dryness and all that kind of stuff. But ice plant will survive the snow, the ice, everything.
So it goes with its name.
Oh, yeah. You got a call?
We do have a call.
Okay.
Oh, mama mia.
Whoa.
Need to turn down your radio there, buddy.
Me?
Yeah. Then we can get you on the air and get you rolling.
Is that working?
No.
No.
I'm sorry, you guys. My broken hips messed me up.
Oh, no. That's sorry to hear that.
That's the way it is. It's important to have a hobby.
I guess so. Is that going to work?
I don't think this is going to work. If you turn the radio off totally, we can communicate, but it, there's a lot of background coming through.
We got a lot of feedback.
I'll just toss a very quick suggestion.
All right.
It sounded like every one of those up through five, you could mix them all together.
Yeah, you could.
And that would be absolutely gorgeous.
It would.
I'll talk to you later. I wish.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay. I was beginning to talk about the Orange Glow Ice Plant. Now, ice plant in general is very hardy, makes a great ground cover. I've grown it for years at the nursery.
Oh.
And in small planter areas, like here's the wall of a house, and there's a patio, and there's like a small planter running the whole length of it that maybe, 2 feet wide.
Mm-hmm.
I've planted ice plant in that, and it spreads, and it blooms all summer long, the ice plant I have, kind of a violet blue flower, and it's gorgeous. It just goes all summer. It doesn't stop.
With very little care?
No care.
No care.
It's like it could probably grow in the Sahara Desert, for crying out loud. I mean, that's how tough this stuff is.
It probably does.
Yeah, it probably originated there.
Yeah.
But, like I say, it's really good. And then I've got another type, and I can't remember the name of it right off the bat, but we started growing that 2 years ago, and has a bigger leaf and looks good. But they're very, very hardy, and this Orange Glow ice plant, it says it's, drought-tolerant, low-growing, has 2-inch blooms that are the biggest you'll find on any ice plant. Most of the ice plant blooms are small, but this one has 2-inch blooms, and it just looks really sharp, and of course needs good drainage and all that. And it comes back bigger and better every year. I mean, this is a true perennial. This is a true, hey, you can't kill me. I'm just going to grow in spite of what the weather does. And they do well in zones 5 through 9. So we're 7. So even in a colder zone of 5, it does well.
We're right in there.
And when I've got it grown in my planter areas around the nursery. And I put them in the tough places just to see how they'll survive. Very little water, dust from the traffic on the road, all that kind of stuff. And then we have the snow, and the ice plant doesn't even blink. Just as soon as the snow melts, it grows again.
That's, no big thing.
Yeah, no big thing. It's just a foot of snow. I was good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I want to find some of these because they are so easy to propagate and grow, and it's a great plant for small foundation planters or pots, and I've seen them in hanging baskets, but they're okay, but you got to watch them because they can break easily because they got the weight. The leaves are very weighty. They're not like a flat leaf. They're like the leaves are big around as your small finger.
That's pretty thick.
Yeah, and they're green, and they're just really, the leaves and the cells are very pretty without the blooms. So it's a good one.
Yeah.
But you can mix it in with other larger plants. If you have a big planter and you want some ground cover, this would be a perfect one.
Mm-hmm.
Any ice plant would. And this stuff, it really actually hugs the ground. It doesn't go, more than 2 inches, 3 inches at the most above the ground.
Oh, it's perfect. Height.
Yeah. Lemon Squeeze Lemongrass. This is a grass. This is one of those ornamental grasses.
Sounds like it would cut you.
Well, if you grab it correctly, it will cut you because all these big, I've gotten cuts from, pampas grass. You know what that is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Like a dummy one day, a whole long time ago, I grabbed one and was going to pull it, slice 2 or 3 fingers,
Ouch.
I mean, whoa, that hurts. And right away, you don't do that.
I did the same thing once down at the creek.
Yeah,
oh, mama mia.
I know. But there's many, many ornamental grasses to choose from already. And now this is another new one. They're constantly, upgrading. Yeah, right, exactly. And this one has foliage that starts out kind of golden yellow in the spring, and then it matures to a chartreuse.
Oh.
Chartreuse color, yes. With copper.
I'm afraid to ask, what color is that?
I don't know.
Chartreuse.
I don't know. I was trying to figure it out, and I couldn't.
Sounds like it might be a purple. I don't know.
It could be maybe a light purplish blue or something like that. But somebody will probably say, what are those dummies talking about? Let's call them up and tell them what chartreuse is.
But please do.
But and it has copper-colored flowers. And I thought, copper-colored flowers. Well, that would be interesting. And they'll get up about 2 or 3 feet, and the flowers are on the very end of the grasses. Uh-huh. And they kind of, they look fragile, but they're not. And when the wind blows, or blowing in the wind, that kind of thing. Yep. They're a very tough plant. Any of these ornamental grasses, they just do a good job. You can forget them. You can, if you should take care of them, but if you forgot and went on vacation for 3 weeks and came back, they'd still be doing all right. They'd be doing fine. They're not going to
kick the bucket.
No, they're not going to kick the bucket. So anyway, these flowers or these flower heads on these grasses, they come out in about midsummer, and they hang on until about late fall. And late fall could be, December 1, for crying out loud. And and it's, like I say, an easy care plant, 3 feet tall and about 3 feet wide. And if it gets too large for your space, you can just cut it back, or you can split it into pieces and transplant those pieces into other locations.
Okay.
And that's how we propagate our grasses. And my daughter Jill, she's in charge of that, and so we'll take a plant out of a 2 gallon pot, which is about 10 inches across, and take a sharp knife and cut right through the roots and maybe divvy that plant up into 6 different pieces, and then pot each one of those pieces into a gallon can, say in December or January, and by April they're ready to come out. They're fully rooted and they're growing, and that's how easy these ornamental grasses are to grow.
Nice.
And as a consequence, I think we have about at least 10 varieties of ornamental grass, different sizes, different colors, different shapes. But they're all just a, and once they're established in your landscape, they just look good. And throw them in there, throw some boulders or something like that, and give them that deserty look or African look or whatever, and they really enhance that part of your landscape. So,
well, we got a break if you want to take it now.
Okay, if you say so.
More Oriental talk.
Yes.
Coming up.
Ornamental.
Oh, did I say it wrong?
You said Oriental.
Figures. All right, we'll be right back with Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show. News Radio 1240 KQEN, also now heard on 93.9.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
We're here, News Radio 1240 KQEN, and also heard now on 93.9.
Yeah, I'm on two stations now, right?
Yeah.
So if you can't get me on this one, go to 93.9. I'm going to test it out.
We're covering the county.
Yes, we are. I was talking about, speaking about these new beautiful plants that I keep seeing in all my landscape magazines and nursery magazines, and I think, well, gee whiz, I'd love to have some of those. Where do I get them? And I never can find them. You can find them after they've been on the market probably 2 or 3 years. they become more commonplace then.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's what I've been speaking about. And there's one last one. I thought the other was the last one, but this is the last one.
Oh, okay.
It's called a ruby gold bleeding heart. And everybody knows what a bleeding heart plant is.
Sounds like a political.
Well, it is. Yeah, it's a bleeding heart. But, this is an old-fashioned plant that got a tune-up, if you will.
Oh.
Yeah, the new growth starts out with an orange-red tint, kind of an orange-red tint. This is the new growth, and matures to gold. It's gold color, and then stays that way to the very end of the growing season. Boy, this is cool. And the flowers are not pink or heart-shaped blooms like the other bleeding hearts are. But these flowers are ruby gold, and they have a red and white flowers that are larger than all the other varieties. So it looked like a really neat plant if you could grow it. And you can, because it's very cold tolerant.
Oh.
And it's very nice. And then the photo really did it well. They, like I said, they're larger than the other varieties of bleeding heart. But these guys need full or part shade to do well. And they do well in zones 4 to 8. So we're definitely in the in the zone. And this is a nice plant to mix in with your landscape. If you got a rhododendron azalea garden, and when they bloom, they're beautiful. But the other times they're just green. Well, you stick in a bleeding heart or any of these others that I've been speaking about, and you've got color year round.
You got a combination there.
Yeah, very nice combination. But again, you know, I ask, where can I find these dudes? I'd love to have some to sell and to plant around my house and my landscape projects, you know, because people are always saying, well, I want some color here, or I want some color there.
Yeah.
And it's good to have a good spectrum of different types of ground covers and shrubs that give you
a variety,
but not quite year-round, but almost year-round color. And that's good.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that's the new stuff coming out. if you find any of those, let me know. I'll buy some. Google me, right? On my flip phone. That's Siri. Oh, golly. Yeah. But as the vegetable season gets closer, and it is getting closer, and with these warm, sunny days in this February, it's getting closer.
What is the temp anyway?
I don't know. I think it was like 54 or 55 when I parked in the parking lot.
Let me see. 57.
57, yeah. Yep. Well, it figures.
That's but, pretty near 60.
Yeah, I know. I heard somebody say 61 in the next day or two.
Yeah, tomorrow, I believe.
And I don't think that's appropriate. But as the vegetable season gets closer, I look for color items, of course, to plant with my peppers and tomatoes and my broccoli. I like to put colorful items in between each of those plants, and it just kind of jazzes up your garden for you, and also attracts pollinators like honeybees and other insects that pollinate. And when you get a lot of insects in there pollinating these things, you get a better crop, a bigger crop, more abundant crop, and that's what it's all about.
Why
plant a tomato plant if you only get two tomatoes off it? I don't know that there's a tomato plant that only gives you two. Usually they give you 200, but
no, mama.
But if the pollinators will get that going even better, you know, you got non-stop tomatoes, for crying out loud.
Every
day you got to go out and pick a half a dozen or so.
That'd be terrible.
Yeah, it would be. But anyway, like I said before, flowers and veggies, they do well together. They look good together. They compensate. They make each other shine and show up. And like I said, the flowers attract the pollinators, and then the pollinators attract some of the birds, and they will eat the bad insects, and it's a win-win proposition for your garden. It's
birds good. And the bees.
The birds and the bees. They do their trick, and bingo, you got a good garden. So let's say you have a small garden space, and you want really good plants to fit in the space available. Well, sometimes the clay soil here in Douglas County is, you know, too hard to deal with. So raised beds are the way to go. And more people I see are building raised beds, some out of concrete blocks, some out of wood, some on that actually have legs on them, and they're up about, you know, 3 or 4 feet, so people can just stand. They don't even have to kneel down at all.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a bed with, might be 8 inches of soil, 10 inches of soil will fit in there. And they can garden standing up and grow the smaller vegetables.
Sure.
And I had one client that must have had, gosh, I'll bet he had 10 or 12 of these boxes. Jeez. And they were, oh, say 6 feet long, 3 feet wide, and, oh, what, 3.5, 4 feet off the ground. Mm-hmm. And that's how he and his wife gardened. And they were plumb full of plants. They had lettuce and beets and no corn. But, just about any small vegetable that you can put in a salad or mm-hmm. just, have on the side. And then they're good to go. They're a little bit more expensive and time-consuming and don't last as long as something that's built on the ground where you have, because I have several raised beds, and I made them out of pressure-treated tubasix, and then I put plastic on the inside of them.
Oh, okay.
To have a moisture barrier between my soil and the wood, and then stake them up with stakes on the outside. So they're firm. They're in place. They ain't going anywhere. They're not going to fall apart in the next 20 years. They're only about 2.5 feet tall. And you bend over a little bit, but you don't have to get on your hands and knees to pull weeds or to get your produce off.
Yeah, and you can still get up.
Exactly. Sometimes you get down on your knees and you're scrunching along on your knees pulling weeds or harvesting your crop, and you've been down there for 15, 20 minutes, and then the phone rings, and you try to jump up, and you can't.
Oh, no,
what happened? My legs don't work. It's because they're asleep, raised beds, I think, are the way to go. Mm. I mean, for you younger farmers out there, hey, you go with the regular garden stuff, be the Cruise Farms or the Brosize of the world.
Yeah.
And get your tractor out there and do that. That's fine.
But us old folks how it's done.
Us old folks don't like to bend down anymore and run around in the dirt, but the raised beds don't have wasted space either. They're easy to work, and there's less wear and tear on our backs and our legs and all that kind of stuff. And like I said, most of them are 2 to 3 feet above ground level, and you can have potting mix put in the box, and you can grow anything, and you got good drainage. That's a foregone conclusion. Yeah, that's a given. And like I said earlier, I've seen some that are 4 feet tall and maybe 3 feet wide and 6 feet long, and there's no bending over at all. It's easy to do, and they'll last for a while. It's easier to control the soil mix that you have to do, and there's less weeds to pull when you have a good soil mix in there.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing though how in normal clay soil or whatever you might have in your yard, how many weeds will come in and how easy they have it and how quick they come in.
Of course they do.
I know. But, last year, there was the first year I had a raised bed. And I don't think I had 5 weeds in the whole thing.
Wow.
Yeah, it took less than 5 seconds to pull them all.
Oh, yeah.
And keep them that way.
You didn't have to bend over.
No, didn't have, well, a little bit. Not much. Because the box, like I said, about 2.5 feet tall.
No.
But it's not a big thing. You could actually sit in a lawn chair, put the lawn chair right beside it, and just reach into the box and pull
there you go.
Whatever you want out of there. Make it easy. Make gardening fun, for goodness sakes.
Yeah.
It's
not meant to be hard.
No, well, maybe. Back in the olden days,
Oh, yeah.
Like I say, in a raised bed, it's easier to control the soil mix. You can manufacture a good, well-balanced, good draining mix that plants will like and do well for you. So, like I said, there's less weeds to pull, almost none.
Nice.
And there's excellent drainage, and the soil warms more quickly because it's a little bit more shallow, and so therefore you get quicker growth on your plants. So it's a win-win right down the line there.
Nice.
And if you use wood, if you build it yourself and you're going to use wood, make sure to get rot-resistant material. I know, nothing is totally rot-resistant, but long-term rot-resistant, like redwood or cedar, hemlock, those kinds of things. And then leave a little bit of space between the boards for drainage, in case you do happen to overwater. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, there's some space, there's some cracks in there.
Drain it out.
That it can naturally drain out.
Yeah.
It'll take the route of least resistance.
There
so,
you go.
Yeah.
All right. Break time.
Break time. Okay. We'll get back.
All right. What's our phone number, Mike?
673-4464.
And in 2 minutes, we'll be back with more of Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show, News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
All righty, my friend. Here we are in the last segment already.
A last segment? Boy, you know, this goes fast.
It does, don't it?
It's amazing. And I've been talking about gardens and raised beds and you know, making it easy on your gardening life, and you can grow a bunch of stuff very easily.
That's the name of the game.
Yeah, and one mistake I made in my original raised bed, it's about, I think it's about 30 feet long, and just between 25 and 30 feet long, and about almost 5 feet wide. And so I put one of these and one of those and a couple of these, and I put, I think, three or four tomatoes, which is way too much. But on the very end of it,
yeah,
I thought, I'll try some corn and see how that works. And they came right up, and they looked good until they got to about, 4.5, 5 feet, and they all kind of died. And I think it was because I either overwatered or underwatered. I couldn't figure it out. Everything else in the garden was looking great. They were producing. I had one zucchini in there. Well, the first zucchini I picked off, one day it wasn't there, and the next day it was there, and it was like 2 feet long and three or 4 inches in diameter.
Gee whiz.
Yeah.
Quick.
Oh, they don't mess around with a zucchini. They say, yeah, watch this. Boom. I'll show you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I did put a pumpkin in there and just to see, and it grew out of the box. The vine grew out of the box, and and a pumpkin was on the ground beside the box.
But so, it did produce.
It did produce, yeah. So I have eliminated pumpkins, and I think I'll try one more zucchini. But the lettuce, the strawberries, you know, the tomatoes, cucumbers, I mean, everything that we like to eat did well, except for the corn. So I will eliminate corn from my box this year and put it actually in the ground. I've got an adjacent spot. I'll just till it up. I don't need a lot of corn. I like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do too.
And, you know, fresh corn on the cob is very, very tasty.
Nothing like
it. I love it. Yeah.
A little butter and salt.
Oh, yeah. A lot of butter and salt. Yeah. You know, it's a real health food in that respect.
Oh, it is.
Yeah. So the corn didn't work in my raised bed. Now, maybe I think I either underwatered or overwatered. And what I did on purpose, just for the heck of it, I planted them like the seeds just too close together. So when they came up, they were like blades of grass almost.
Yeah.
And I don't think they had enough room to grow. I don't think they had enough root room because they're all fighting for it.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, they got up, you know, 4 feet and just kind of went brown.
That's enough.
And they didn't even, they kind of began to form ears, but quit before they were really formed. Huh. So there was a lack of something in there. And so... I've grown it in the ground. I've grown acres of it in the ground.
Yeah.
It doesn't need any.
It seems to do well around
here. It's very, very good. And besides that, it shaded some of my other plants.
Oh.
Because I had it on the west end of the box. You know, so, but not to their detriment at all. Mm. So,
good.
Like I said, in between my color spots, I plant tomatoes, peppers, broccoli, squash, lettuce. And, you know, they all live together, and they all help each other, and it's pretty. You know, why not have a pretty vegetable garden?
Yeah, I mean, coexist.
And a vegetable garden, you know, you go out to Cruz's or Brosai or something like that.
Yeah.
They got rows and rows and rows of that stuff, and they're beautiful in their own way. But I think if they put a few color items down in there in between, that would really be an attention getter. Say, look at that.
Spruce it up a bit.
Look at those pumpkins, and they got flowers coming out of them. Let's get one of them pumpkins, buddy.
Yeah, I want that one.
Yeah. So after I planted all my little stuff, you know, and these plants don't take up a lot of space, so you can plant more of them. I mean, it's, and Some of them, they produce very early, and they're kind of quitting. Well, just pull that old plant out and stick a new one in. You get another crop before fall even sets in. So it's...
Okay, I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah.
Sure.
Well, some of them, the living was so good that they produced so quickly that they burned themselves out quickly, too. So just yank them and put another new one
in. Start all over.
Yeah, put some seeds in there. You can have your garden clear into fall. You know, and fall around here, October is nothing. I mean, it's still almost like summer, for crying out loud.
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, it's warm. Some of those October days, baby. It gets very warm. So what you want to do, too, is look for varieties that are kind of dwarf. There are dwarf varieties of tomatoes. There are dwarf varieties of other plants in that they don't grow as tall. The produce is not dwarfed, but the plant itself is dwarfed.
Mm, okay, and, that works.
Yeah, it works. And the produce is just as tasty, and it's just a good size to handle. And,
yeah.
But the plant's going to be smaller. Now, the bush beans is a good example. They're easy to grow, and they're compact. They look good, and they just produce a tremendous amount of beans. And they're good for, you can use them in chili, soup, or, you know, just as a side dish. And they're...
You can eat them raw if you want.
Yeah, and they're actually good for you. And like I say, that's a quick crop to grow. And in some cases, a small plant can produce beans in less than 50 days.
Wow, that's a quick turnaround.
Yeah, they're very quick turnaround. And depending on your soil, if all the conditions are just right, in less than 50 days, you can have beans. So
nice.
Yeah. Lettuce, of course, is quick and easy. But you got to continually prune it and use it, or the leaves get old and kind of wilty and dingy and all that stuff.
We're out of time.
Are we out of time, man? I got more stuff to say.
But we didn't even touch that.
I know, and I'll... Oh, yeah, my olive tree. That's what the last two pages are about. I'll do that next week.
Next week.
Thank you for listening.
All right. We'll catch you next week, Mike.
Okay.